AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. You're listening to us live on the internet at www.darknessradio.com. If you haven't already, make sure to stop in. Click over on the left side of the screen. There should be a button that says Discuss. You can join our growing forum and talk to other listeners, talk to other paranormal believers, and be able to share information and your stories with other people in the field of the paranormal. If you're a group and you would like to post your site and link there for people that are looking for help in your area, please do that. Coming back into the show now, we're going to go to our next guest. We've got the most beautiful Diana Avena, who's joining us this evening. She's a representative for the Roswell Ghost Tour in Roswell, Georgia, and has been doing it for the last 2 years. She really enjoys introducing others to the city through its haunting tales and feels that it's like a walk back in time each time she does it. Guests of the tour find that they learn much about Roswell's rich history through its informative and entertaining ghost tours. And the people in local businesses in Roswell continue to share their stories and experiences with her, so that keeps a Roswell ghost tour constantly changing and exciting. You can check out her site by going to www.roswellghosttour.com. That's roswellghosttour.com. And Diana has just finished filming a TV ghost investigative pilot with Kim Eason Productions as well. Or is that Eason? I'm sorry, Diana.
It is Eason.
Eason, all right, good. With Kim Eason Productions, where she's one of the four paranormal investigators as well as the show's hostess. The show will be pitched to TV networks here in the fall, and the show's a breath of fresh air for anybody that gets a chance to see it. You're going to love it. And anybody that's really serious into ghost hunting consists of serious investigators with intriguing evidence recorded. And the show will focus on investigating properly as well as often overlooked tools for serious investigators. We're not going to be able to reveal too much about the show because it hasn't been officially picked up yet now, but Diana's going to be on hand here to talk to us about her experiences, a little bit about the show and what we can expect with it. So, Diana, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Well, thank you so much.
Appreciate it. And, you know, Tim, we missed her birthday. June 7th, I believe. Is that it? Was that your birthday, Diana, June 7th?
Yes, sir. It sure was.
And you turned 30 for the seventh time. Is that right?
That's right.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
We'd sing to you, but we care about you just too much to do that. And our listeners would tune out real quickly. Well, happy birthday to you. Now, for people that want to check you out again, you can go to Roswell Ghost Tour. You've been with that for 2 years now. What kind of inspired you to start up with a ghost tour out there?
Well, you know, I've lived in Roswell for 17 years. All of my children were born here. I mean, this is, you know, my home. I've chosen this to be my home. I love, love, love the city. So about 4 or 5 years ago, I went on the tour myself. I saw an advertisement. It was, you know, mid-October. Thought it'd be a great thing to take my sons to, just, you know, Halloween type thing. And I'll never forget that I was wondering, or it occurred to me at the time while we were walking along towards the beginning of the tour, that it had never occurred to me to wonder if I believed in ghosts or not. It was just something fun to do around Halloween. And during the course of that, I was intrigued on so many levels about the city that I had lived in so long and didn't know nearly enough about, and all the paranormal stories that were going on. And what I loved about the tour was that these aren't stories that have been handed down generation after generation and possibly embellished on. It was current stories, you know, things that have been told to the tour owner at the time and the guides within that just the time frame of the tour been going on, which at that time was only maybe a year. So that's what I really love about this, that really separates from other ones I've been on, is that all of the stories are current, told within the time frame of the tour, and they, you know, they keep getting the same stories and experiences keep being experienced by people. So it just kind of reinforces the stories we have, and of course, new ones get added so often as well.
Well, for people that are interested in joining up with the tour, how long does the tour last?
It's like an hour and a half. I'm fighting really hard to keep it down to an hour and a half because there's just so much I like to share. But yeah, generally an hour and a half.
And, you know, can you give us maybe one or two of the best stories along the way so people know a little bit about the rich haunting history of your area?
Well, sure.
Okay.
We see a lot of actual antebellum homes, and it's outside the whole time. We don't go inside any of them. But what's interesting is that since this past, I'll say, January, the majority of the activity has been occurring outside of the old bricks. Now, they're referred to as the old bricks. That's the official name. Right now, they're being made into condos. And since, you know, over the last several months, they're being renovated, of course, being made into condos. So I feel that that's probably the reason why there's been so much activity there. Now, I've been the guide for going on 2 years, and occasionally I'd have various things. You know, I speak with the building behind me, which, by the way, the building is architecturally significant in that they are the first townhome-type buildings to be built in the U.S. It's right along the Vickery Creek, which Roswell was actually established because of an old mill that was made there on the river. So the old bricks were made for the mill foremen to live in, for them and their families. So I'm standing in front of the old bricks oftentimes with the building behind me, and there's been occasions where I would feel cold spots behind me and various things, just sort of energy. I've had people take pictures and email them to me where it appears that a tall man is standing behind me, and we do know from stories of what they were in the past from the people that were in there that they do have a lot of stories, and they feel that it's a Confederate soldier just because of the things that occurred.
Now, are the pictures ever very clear of the Confederate soldier, or is it just outlined, shadowy kind of figures?
Outlined, shadowy figures.
Okay.
Yep. So, like the previous people in there, by the way, it was like a social club. It could be rented out for various events, and they had a couple of big prints. One depicted a Union soldier, one depicted a Confederate soldier. They got them in one afternoon, and they set the security system with motion sensors, and they came in the next morning, and no one had been in there. The security system was never tripped, but the one depicting the Union soldier was face up on the floor quite a bit away from that mantle, and there was no damage to the frame whatsoever. Of course, the security system was not tripped, and there was the glass was shattered like somebody had stomped on it, and they felt that, okay, this is probably an act of aggression from a Confederate ghost. So they named him Fred because there were so many different things that he did, and they were very aware that there was something there. Now, back to the current occurrences. So leading up to, in front of this building, I didn't feel anything negative. It's just, I'd feel energy. I don't normally say anything to the group because I just think that would sound cheesy. Oh, yeah, the ghost tour guide's saying she's experiencing something. So I continue to tell the stories and deal with it. Well, it's really been quite active lately, at least in my experience. My first full-bodied apparition I've ever seen in my life was there. That was just a couple months ago. But
now, by full-bodied, could you actually see detail, or was it, again, a shadowy figure, but it was a full-body figure?
No, this was detailed. I could see a lot of detail.
Really? Were you frightened?
What's that?
Were you frightened?
I'd say rattled.
Okay.
Yeah, not necessarily frightened.
Did you feel any sense of fear from it? I mean, like, was it menacing at all to you, or was it just observing?
I think the word I would say is just intense. When I got in front of the old bricks, that was the second time I had seen him that night. So the first time was being about a half an hour before that, and we were heading toward that direction, and we were crossing a major intersection. And this intersection, sometimes we can be standing there for a few minutes, and so I like to sort of scurry ahead of the group to push the button.
Right.
And as I was, my mind was focusing on getting to that button, and I saw him catty corner across the street. I'm going to guess, like 35 to 40 yards away, and I noticed that he was sprinting towards me. And, of course, my thought is, what's the man doing sprinting into this intersection? I could hear cars coming from either direction. So I looked up to verify we don't have the right-of-way, and as my eyes darted back to him, he was in the middle of the intersection, and that's when I realized he was about 25% see-through. But I could see that he was wearing a white shirt, black pants, a black long jacket that didn't appear to be a modern jacket, and he was balding, he was kind of short, and his eyes were right on me.
Now, the other people that were there with you, were they witnessing this as well?
No one said anything, and I didn't say anything either.
Diana. The first rule of paranormal investigating is talk about it.
Well, you know, again, I mean, I have told a couple of groups since then.
Right.
And I like to feel out the groups. You know, there's some that are there for the fluff. They want some creepy ghost stories, but, you know, some of the history and whatnot. And then I'll have others where there's true paranormal investigators on the tour, and they really will come out and say, what sort of things have you experienced? And then I'll say, well, do you want to hear about my, you know, and then of course they do. And I have told it a couple times, but, you know, at the time it wasn't one of those groups. They were kind of there with their kids and for the fluff, and it just didn't seem right. And, you know, I was kind of rattled, and I just thought, you know, if I was on a ghost tour and the ghost tour guide said I just saw a ghost, I'd think, right.
Well, what did it do? Did it continue on towards you, or did it just vanish, dissipate? What happened?
Right as a big truck was about to, you know, cream it, he disappeared. He vanished.
Okay.
So then fast forward.
But the drivers didn't seem to mention or notice it at all as well.
Nope.
Okay.
That's right.
All
right. So then about half an hour later, when we're in front of the old brick, I was telling about the current stories and about the history and what people had experienced there in the past, and the bricks were behind me, and the group was in front of me, and I saw him again, this time not sprinting, but walking quickly. He was on the other side of the street, and just as he was about to reach the group in front of me, he vanished again, and his eyes were still on me at this time. Our eyes were meeting. And what's interesting about that night, which really makes me realize, okay, this really isn't just all in my head, there was a woman there, and this particular woman was kind of saying, well, I felt this, you know, at various locations, and telling me about her own experiences. Well, seconds after he disappeared in front of my eyes, she said, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but I just thought I'd let you know that I just saw a man walk between you and I and up to the building. So that it's like I lost sight of him, but then suddenly she gained sight of him.
Awesome. So somebody else experienced the same thing that you were experiencing.
Right. And wow. I've since been in contact with her afterwards, and I told her afterwards, and she said, you know, a lot of stuff kind of made sense. But we had a discussion that she sees and hears things telepathically, whereas it appears that I physically see and hear things. So okay. That makes sense as to where I would have lost him and she would have picked him up.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's impressive. And that's part of your tour? You walk past that area every time you do this?
Oh, yeah, we have since the beginning. Now, the very first thing that happened, I had a local radio personality on the tour, but I'm not familiar with her and her station. I didn't know. And this was this past October, and that's actually when they first began gutting the place for the renovations for the condos.
Sure.
And several people had flashlights, and again, my back was to the building, and again, I felt this coldness come across my back, but didn't say anything, just kind of telling the stories. And someone noticed that a window was rising upward on the second floor, and that's when I turned around and I saw it for myself. Now, because it had just become, it just started being gutted, the bottom doors were still there, but the thresholds had been ripped out, and you could see a good 4 or 5 inches tall gap underneath those doors. You could see that there wasn't much of a first floor. So I can't imagine that there was much of a second floor, and I also can't imagine that somebody would have been up there moving the window, opening it without seeing a stick or an arm or something. So this is the one and only time out of the 2 years I actually left the group.
Oh, really?
I got a little weirded out at this time. And I started to walk away, and I was walking backwards. I had my eye on the group, and I could still see the window opening, and they were all still seeing the window. And as I about reached the end of the sidewalk, about 20 feet from them, I realized I heard big footsteps behind me. And I'll never forget that. I thought, well, I guess someone from the group got ahead of me after all. And I turned to look, and there was nobody there. That's when I said, I'm definitely out of here, people. So it turned out she talked about that on her radio station for quite a bit afterwards. People were telling me for weeks and months afterwards that they had heard her talking about it.
Well, that's great. See, that sounds like an interesting tour to definitely go on. I've been on a couple, and I just don't feel like anything cool has happened. So, well, for people that are interested, and if you're just tuning in, our guest tonight is Diana Avena, and she is a representative of the Roswell Ghost Tour in Roswell, Georgia. She's also working on a TV pilot about a paranormal TV show that'll be coming out here hopefully soon, get picked up. She was just talking to us about the actual tour that she leads and some of the events that occur. We'll be back with Diana more, and we'll talk to her about the different events that she's been able to see and experience for herself and a little bit more about what got her interest involved in the paranormal. We'll do that right after this.
We thought El Chupacabra meant the cup of coffee in Spanish.
Mi amo Eduardo Especial. ¿Cómo está el yay?
What you talking about, Willis?
Shows you what we know. Stay tuned. There's more to come from the darkness on the edge of town.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
If you read Taps Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters, to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at tapsparamag.com.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Two ghosts walk into a bar and see another ghost at the bar point at them and yell, "Boo!" One of the ghosts yells back, "Boo-hoo!" And the ghost at the bar yells back, "Well, you don't have to cry about it." Ah, hell, you try writing this.
You magnificent bastard! I salute you!
Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Along with me, as always, my co-host and producer, Tim Dennis. Our guest this evening is the lovely and talented Diana Avena, who is the representative for the Roswell Ghost Tour in Roswell, Georgia, and she's been doing that for the last 2 years here. She is also filming and working with a TV pilot about ghost investigations, hopefully showing us the right way to do it, get things done, see some really great stuff. Now, with the pilot that you've shot, I know you can't give too much information. What kind of angle, what can you give us a little bit of an idea of, with your show, what type of difference you're going to do other than things like Ghost Hunters or Most Haunted or Dead Famous or Dead Tenants? I know you can't give away too much, but I mean, what is there anything specifically that you're offering more? Are you doing more of a scientific approach, more with, you know, a good mix of psychics and mediums and scientific approach?
I guess.
Are you doing it in the nude?
Well, basically the two things I'm not allowed to say is the name, or at least the working title, whatever network picks it up. Of course, it'll be their final call of what it's called. And also maybe even what you're asking for, which is what makes it different. I guess the whole thing is it's a great idea, and someone can just go, you know, it is, and try to beat us to the punch. But what I feel like I probably can say is that it would lean more toward the scientific.
All right, that's
so
good.
If people are who are ghost investigators themselves, paranormal investigators, if they feel like, you know, what's out there, you know, I disagree with this and that, I think that that's silly, I think that's silly, I think they spend too much time with, you know, the drama between the members, then this would be where it's different.
Okay, you were just supposed to say that this one's got a hot blonde in it.
Ah!
That's all you had to say, Diana.
Oh, you're cute.
See how it works. So now what got you involved in the paranormal? I mean, aside from doing this walk-in ghost tour, is that what just kind of lit the light for you?
Yes, and then, of course, looking back, I'm realizing, you know, I did have things growing up, and I did have a couple of other experiences, and I think that this probably goes for a lot of people in that, yeah, you know, starting the ghost tour and then becoming the guide, one of my favorite parts is hearing other people's stories, and there are just so many people that have them. And we really do need to thank the Ghost Hunter Show and the ones that are similar, because it's sort of bringing it, it's sort of making it okay to talk about it, whereas a lot of people felt that it wasn't for so long. Even just a couple of years I've been doing this tour, and what I feel I bring to the table in the show is that I really have my ear to the ground of what people have questions about, the experiences that they have, the things they're interested in hearing and talking about. I just totally lost my train of thought.
That's okay. We were following along with you just fine. you said you kind of bring it because you've got your ear to the ground. You're able to kind of keep an eye on what's going on and hear what people actually have an interest in.
Right. So, what got me interested, it's really, you know, seeing those shows, just kind of surrounding myself in it and realizing, you know, those things that I had just tried to dismiss for so long, I'm not going to dismiss them anymore. And I'm really interested in delving into it and finding out what it was about. I'm certain I may not find all the answers, but it's fun to sort of try to find them and to be around others with similar minds. And so that probably answers your question.
Definitely. Well, I appreciate that. I don't want to get you in too much trouble with your producer and get you guys bumped for the show. Now, going forward with the Roswell Ghost Story, now you also, she's got an extensive resume here, Tim. I don't know if you've had a chance to read up on any of the stuff that we have going on, but not only does she do the ghost tour, not only is she doing this TV show, but she's also a stunt person, stunt double, and a body double in television and movie. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yes.
What can you tell us just briefly a couple of the roles that you've been in and involved in?
Sure. Well, I actually started out doing the body double and stunt double thing, and of course I'm sure everybody thinks it's a lot of TNA, but that hasn't been the case, at least for me. I began as Rebecca De Mornay's body double. It was for a made-for-TV movie called Getting Out on a Lifetime channel. And, yes, I did some sort of, you know, it was my legs instead of hers, that sort of thing. And basically what a stunt double is, or at least in my experience, is that they basically would rather the stunt double get hurt or get sick rather than the star. So I know that it was in the middle of November. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. I had to double as her. She played a pregnant woman escaping from jail in the middle of the night. And they chose to have me running through the creek in the freezing cold because, of course, it's much better if I get sick and hurt than the star. Then later on in the movie Fluke, MGM movie, I got to crash a car. That was probably the highlight. I got to crash a Volvo, brand-new Volvo.
Yeah, crashing cars is cool or something.
Oh, I completely agree.
You want to know by coincidence, Diana, I've played a pregnant woman crashing a car before.
So, oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Tim was the body double for the waifish Eva Longoria in a new TV movie. You know, you wouldn't think that a 6-foot guy, 280-pound guy could pull that role off, but that's what makes him such a good, you know, role model for people out there in the field.
I had to wax for days.
Oh, man. Well, that shows your true talent there.
So you've been doing all this. Boy, how do you find time to investigate the paranormal?
Well, you know, I have been, people have said no moss grows beneath me. I'm a doer.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I mean, that's got to keep you busy. But doing these different roles and being a part of it, have you had the chance to kind of check out and investigate the areas that you're there, you know, filming at?
Yes. I have been part of investigations at Barrington Hall, which we have in Roswell. We talk about on the tour. Bullock Hall is coming up soon. Those are old antebellum homes that are from the beginning of Roswell, the city. And a couple of antique stores that are also in the area. And then, of course, I'm getting involved with other groups and really exploring elsewhere. I had a great experience. I don't know what all is going to make it into this pilot episode, but we filmed at a plantation, not in Roswell, but in Georgia. And actually, it was in Covington, Georgia. And, of course, we had to pick a place that we knew we were going to get something, you know?
Sure.
We were gathering people from all over the U.S. and all over the South to come film this. We really needed to make sure we got something. So, actually, if I may mention the other investigators, I'm one of four. And we also have Drew Hester, who is the North Georgia representative for the Georgia Ghost Society, which is part of the American Ghost Society, headed up by Troy Taylor, of course. And Robert Honeycutt, who is the Central Georgia rep, and he's the founder and director of the Georgia Ghost Society. And then we also have Richard Smith, and he's all the way from Texas. He heads up the Paranormal Investigations of Texas out there, and he's our EVP expert. So the four of us, we were at this plantation, and we're still coming through footage. We have a lot of stuff. So they made a good call, Robert and Drew, in picking this location. We're going to have to pick and choose what we show because we got such good stuff. Now, my great experience happened when nobody else was around and no cameras were around. But it was, we all slept in there. We stayed the entire weekend from Friday to Sunday. Well, Saturday morning, myself and Kim, the director, she's the director and the producer. We woke up, first to wake up, we had access to one shower, and it was upstairs. So she and I decided we're going to get our showers
out. Hey, Diana, this is a family show.
Hey, now.
You can keep that part for the off-air question and answer later.
You got it.
So, all right, so anyway, the two of you are in a shower together. Go on. Go on.
So she's in the shower first, and I'm gathering my things, and I hear her in the shower upstairs. And I'm walking up the stairs, and we all knew that the majority of activity was in this particular bedroom at the top of the stairs.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
Yes!
Chicka, bow, bow. Yes, go on.
So as I'm walking up the stairs, I hear several women whispering loudly to one another. So I'm thinking, well, who in the heck got up there without my knowing? And I get to the top of the landing, see there's no one around. I decide to peek in all the rooms. There's no one there. So I thought, well, it's possible Kim's talking to herself in the shower. Who knows? So I'm kind of taking advantage of having the place upstairs to myself, looking around the daylight this time because we had been investigating in the dark the night before. And as I'm walking out of that most haunted room, or the one that with the most activity, I should say, and I'm walking out the hall, I hear my name very loudly whispered by my right ear, Diana. Of course, I spun around. No one's there. When Kim came out of the bathroom, I said, were you talking to yourself? Are you messing with me? She said, no. Why? And I told her what had happened. And she said that the great-great-granddaughter of the original owner, who we got to interview for the show as well, because she's had, her own experiences, she said that it is a very common occurrence for people to hear women talking upstairs.
Wow, that's crazy. So you heard the voices. Right. So you actually heard the strong... You're sure it wasn't just, wind or anything like that. You're confident that the actual name Diana was whispered in your ear.
Yes, there was no denying it. And I'm the first, I promise you, to dismiss things. If there's a natural reason for something to occur, I will choose that it was a natural reason for it to occur.
Wow, that's kind of creepy.
So, like for instance, the Roswell full-bodied apparition I've seen. I know I've seen many things out of the corners of my eye, many times in the past, and I look and it's gone. That's not good enough for me. I dismiss it, but there was no dismissing those things I had just mentioned to you.
Wow.
In my mind.
So what other experiences can you give us that occurred to you while you guys were doing this kind of stuff? Did any of it occur like that didn't make it on film that you can talk about?
No, not that I'm aware of. If anybody else experienced something they didn't say so to me. I don't think so.
Was there anything as you're combing through the evidence that you picked up that you were like, oh my God, I didn't realize we caught that?
The EVP guy, that's Richard Smith in Texas, he's still coming through the EVPs. He's getting a lot. He's one that keeps saying, okay, I have this. And what he did get, but we actually did know about this while we were still there before we left, he was on the ground, and of course it was like an old cotton plantation. He got a slave chant. A lot of EVPs you hear a word or a phrase. This is an ongoing chant with cadence to it.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
And is it super clear?
Mm, I've heard clearer, and I've heard, you know, things less clear. So
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's pretty crazy. It's kind of like on the Ghost Hunters earlier this season. They had in the slave quarters, they had put a recorder in there, and you could hear what sounded like an African American woman screaming and, you know, pleading for her life or whatever. It was creepy how clear that came through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and that begs the question. I wonder if that's more of a residual haunting, that you're just picking up the energy that's replaying.
Right.
Or what you guys were picking up. Is it, because if they're still doing the chant, I would guess, I mean, what in your opinion, what would you say? Would you think that that's more of probably a residual haunting you're just picking up on? Or were you actually, you know, hearing a connection through to that time?
I would guess that it was a residual thing.
It makes you wonder about the whole time-space continuum. I mean, are the layers that thin,
right,
that maybe that is really all that spirits are, is that we're just looking into the eyes of time. And the spirits that we see and hear, it's just a thin layer of fabric there that's been, you know, threadbare, if you will. So you're actually getting moments through that time when you're experiencing it. It may not actually be a haunting or anything that's occurring now. It's just like a tear in time.
Right.
Wow, I sound like I'm high, don't I?
I know.
Pass the Cheetos, Tim.
And what I'm just loving is as I'm walking on the tour, and of course, you know, I'm walking and talking to people. I mean, that to me, they're just a bunch of my friends. That they are getting into these conversations more and more with me, and I think is you know, thanks to the shows that are out there, and they're talking about their favorite paranormal shows. Whereas in the beginning, it just didn't seem like it was cool or okay or acceptable to be really talking openly with strangers about that type of thing.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I found that people are really opening up about the paranormal now, too. Mm-hmm. For so many years, you were looked at as kind of a flake or a goof for talking about this stuff. Now it seems to be kind of water cooler conversation. At least we hope people are talking about our show the next day or talking about Ghost Hunters or Most Haunted or any of the paranormal shows out there. Do you have a theory on why you think maybe it's becoming a little bit more accepted?
Well, the success of the TV shows, certainly, you know, it's in everybody's living rooms now, and they're tuning in. Word of mouth is getting around. It's a fabulous show. I'll never forget the first time I saw Ghost Hunters. I was intrigued. I just couldn't wait until the next episode. And
but were you looking for ghosts or plumber crack? Because I know which one Tim was watching for.
Crack.
Yes.
That's funny.
Now that you're going to continue moving on with this, are you, you know, well, hopefully we're going to keep our fingers crossed here for you that you get a new TV show so we can be friends with another TV show person here, Tim.
Yay.
Yeah, then we've got somebody rocking and rolling on the tube. With this, are you thinking about expanding the ghost tour and covering different parts of Georgia or covering different states in the area, taking people out? Is that something that you might like to do here in the future?
I think that that's a very, you know, definitely possible. Now, I purchased it from Jack Richards, who was the pioneer of the ghost tour industry in Savannah. So that's a pretty big deal. He started Savannah Ghost Walk there, and he came and moved over to Roswell about 6 or 7 years ago, and then he started the Roswell one. So, you know, if he can do it, I can do it.
That'd be great, yeah, because, you know, I mean, there's so many ghost tours that are taking place all over the United States, and we will post a link on our website there. And, you know, feel free, Diana, as well, to join up on our boards, and you can be there to answer questions for people. People can share maybe some stories that have happened that might be right around your Roswell area that you might not even be aware of yet.
Right.
So, you know, for everybody that's listening, if you are in the Roswell area and you have those kind of experiences, feel free to check in on our site. You can post the information there so Diana can read it. And, I've been on so many ghost tours, and some of them fall so flat. You know, you're racing by them at 25 miles an hour, 30 miles an hour. Yep, that's the building where this ghost walked through the wall. And now we're going to go over to this place. And, you know, it's hard to find good entertainment out there for doing these type of tours. So I appreciate, you know, the ability. And hopefully I think we're going to try to work something out here where we can bring some listeners out there either later on this year or beginning of next year, where we can come out and maybe take the tour with you as well.
Super.
Unless you're, you know, too busy and too popular on TV. With the paranormal bunch, if you will.
Right.
Now, what going through with the paranormal, so you've got EVP experts, you've got different scientific experts on this and stuff. What's your favorite form of investigating?
I'm going to have to go with EVP, just because, you know, it's you know, if you're lucky, you get some really good one that's black and white, undeniable. You know, obviously, if you have good investigators, you've made sure everything's quiet, you've made sure everybody's sort of still and locked down, and if your stomach rumbles, you make note of it, you know that you can rule things out, and if it's played back and there's something there that's just really blatant, what else can you ask for?
Exactly. It's a nice immediate gratification type of investigation.
Yep.
Investigative tool. For those of you tuning in right now, you're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Along with me, Tim Dennis. We've been spending the time here with the beautiful and talented Diana Avena, and she's been telling us about the Roswell Ghost Tour and some of her experiences that she's done while doing the tour. Also, she has a TV show that she's in the middle of filming a pilot for. Actually, has cut the pilot, and they're shopping it around the network, so hopefully by September, October, we'll be seeing her popping up on the airwaves as well. We're going to talk more with Diana right after this.
It will keep you on the edge of your seat.
I must have drank me about 15 Dr. Peppers.
I gotta pay.
Just don't get any on the floor. Hurry back. There is more to come from the darkness on the edge of town.
Extra value meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
June 18th, join us on Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show as we present a special guest for the evening. Dan Aykroyd, the actor, comedian, producer, and writer, will be on hand to discuss his brand new DVD, Dan Aykroyd Unplugged on UFOs. We're all familiar with Dan's comedic side and acting abilities, but he also has a passion for the paranormal. Dan has uncovered unbelievable footage of real UFO encounters. He also will be on hand to talk to us about the government conspiracies and cover-ups that have been circulating since the 1940s and the crash at Roswell. For the second hour of the show, his co-host for the DVD, David Sirita, a noted ufologist and author, will join us to discuss his theories on UFOs and the unseen world around us. This is a show you will not want to miss. Make sure to tune in June 18th from 10 p.m. to midnight on the Darkness on the Edge of Town.
If you read Taps Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at TapsParamag.com.
Do you hear loud moans and banging on your walls? Next time, pay for the better hotel room.
Oh, no more Yankee, my Winky. The donga needs food.
Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town with your hosts, Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
Good evening and welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Along with me, Tim Dennis. And our guest this evening has been Diana Avena. Diana is in charge of the Roswell Ghost Tours in Roswell, Georgia. You can visit that site by going to Roswell Ghost Tour. Is that Ghost Tours or Ghost Tour, Diana?
Without the S.
Without the S. So it's singular. RoswellGhostTour.com to check out all the information about her ghost tour that she offers up. And it's a walking ghost tour. Is that correct?
That's right. So a lot of times I also like to tell people, you know, we're not in any costumes. You don't go inside anywhere. Kind of no gimmicks.
Do they have to pay extra for that?
No. No.
Yeah, you can check out our website there. Now, do you also have a paranormal group that you're affiliated with?
Not one in particular. You know, I've been really lucky to be invited. I have a lot of friends in the, that arena around here. So I've been really lucky to just be invited on ones that they're involved in. I hope that I don't ever have to choose because there would be several. I just wouldn't be able to choose. There's so many that I've been fortunate to be involved in that we're really like-minded. They're very well respected. So far, not just one. No.
Okay, so you get to that's nice too. Being a part of a bunch of different groups, you can always go out and check out different things. Do you see that there's a lot of difference between each group and how they do their investigations?
Yes, And, you know, even within the same group, there'll be differing opinions as to what really to focus on. And, you know, the ones that I feel more comfortable with would be not the ones that are doing the dowsing rods and the, you know, relying mostly on the psychics and the mediums. It would be more the ones that are, I need to have a document. You know, yes, it's nice if somebody says, I feel something here, and that's helpful and where we can focus our equipment on. But the ones I tend to blend with best are the ones that really are more the scientific and the black and white.
So what would you say your stand is? What's your take on psychics and mediums? Do you believe that they actually have abilities? Do you believe that that's something that is true, or just, you know, weak-minded people that go to people that have these purported abilities?
No, I do have a healthy respect for them. I think that there are a lot of people out there that say they have the abilities that maybe not as strong as I would want them to be involved in an investigation and to rely on what they have to say. I do know people who I respect very much who are like-minded with myself, and I trust their opinions, and they've been really good to say, you know, if you ever want one, I've weeded out and I really trust this particular person.
It's not
a black and white thing, you know, so I guess I have more of that mind, and I do have a healthy respect for them, but I would really want to really work hard to weed out the ones that are standing above them all for myself.
Sure. Now, you've thrown your hat into a pretty crazy ring with the TV show. There's so many different paranormal shows that are kind of out there in the market right now doing investigations. And, you know, they all come from different angles. You know, you've got the Ghost Hunters, which try to do it on more of a scientific basis. And you've got shows like Most Haunted, where they seem to lend themselves more to the psychic ability. Do you feel that, I know that the way I've kind of gotten the vibe, nobody's actually told me this from the Ghost Hunters show, but I kind of get the vibe that they think that kind of the psychics and the mediums that are involved in the investigations can actually make make more of a mockery of the investigations of true investigators.
Right.
You know, do you have any thoughts or feelings on that at all? I know you don't want to get in trouble with the psychic medium community because,
you know, again,
once
I really
unleash on you, you're in a lot of trouble.
No, right. I mean, I do have a great respect for them. Now, you know, if they had a psychic on the show, I mean, I know that they're going to have so many people coming out and going, oh, what are you doing? I thought you were more scientific. Why are you doing that? And then, of course, they would probably bring in this whole entire other audience that are like, well, it's about time. This is very worthwhile. So you can't please everybody. You know, everybody has their styles. And I'm not, you know, for all I know, a year from now, my style may completely change and I'll be won over in a completely different direction. I mean, I'm always open. I'm not rigid. But just so far in my experience, I've sort of taken away more from the instrumentation and the more scientific-minded in my experience.
Right. You know, I mean, as we always advocate on the show, you know, before you involve yourself with people that have purported sensitivities, it's always a good idea to get, you know, a good feel for what they can actually do and how they work before maybe you go out and do an investigation with them. Now, I've had the opportunity to meet some really very gifted and talented people that have these abilities.
Right.
But, you know, I've also run afoul of a couple of really kooky people out there that
right.
Claim to do this and, you know, kind of seem to have their own agenda. I mentioned on there was an episode of Dead Famous that was filmed in Chicago. They were doing an investigation at a few different places. And Chris Fleming, they had invited a psychic medium intuitive into one of the investigations at, I believe it was the Excalibur. And from the minute she came in, she seemed to have an agenda against drunk driving.
Oh, boy.
And everything she said had something to do about, you know, the babies are crying because of all the deaths because of the drinking and this and that. And I mean, it was just so... You know, I think that can really mess with, you know, the reality of doing a paranormal show like that.
Right.
You know, and kind of getting that out there. But, you know, again, it's kind of lending yourself, making sure that you're surrounding yourself with people that you feel a good security and sensitivity to with doing these. Because I certainly do believe in the ability. I just don't, like you, I guess I just don't believe that everybody who says that they've got this ability. Seems a lot of them buy into... You know, we had the opportunity to go up and do this ghost hunt at Thayer's Bed and Breakfast, which up here in Annandale, Minnesota, which is a haunted bed and breakfast.
Right.
And it seemed that, and you'll probably find doing the show and working in these environments, if you haven't already, with a lot of paranormal groups, when you have a psychic or an intuitive with you, I think that it kind of heightens everybody. And when the psychic intuitive starts to zone in on something or fear something, I think it almost causes more of a panic among the people involved in the group.
Right.
And I don't know if you've had that experience happen with groups that you've been a part of with the psychic and medium world. I also wonder, you know, I mean, we're supposedly a very energy-based creature and being.
Right.
And that, you know, when we pass on, we just go into a different form of energy and we continue on in that form. So I wonder, you know, since we can kind of shift reality and perception and we can change things around us, you know, by one person stating, you know, I'm a psychic, intuitive, people believe in this, and they sense, oh, I sense this is going on, this is going on. I wonder if so many people focused on that are actually creating the paranormal event.
Oh, right.
And not so much that the ghost is there doing it, but you've got the ring leader who's saying this is going on, and everybody is kind of willing it into existence. I mean, does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. I mean, I understand that, you know, sort of psychologically and in people's minds, they can sort of fill in and take that on as their belief that this is going on. But then on the flip side, I remember having this discussion with Jack Richards, the previous owner of the Roswell Ghost Tour, and somebody had said something to the effect of, well, you know, when you're telling these stories and people are experiencing this on the tour, I mean, and he said basically what you said, once one person says, oh, I see this, isn't it that everybody else is just going to feed into that?
Right, like a mass hysteria.
Right, and then Jack said, well, you know, on the flip side of that, if you have a lot of people, there's energy in the expectation and the excitement and the anticipation and the heightened emotions, and that is measurable physical energy. And if you're sort of directing it to this building or this home, and, you know, he believes that that could help sort of facilitate something to actually happen.
Right, because supposedly spirits feed on the energy so that they can come forward and manifest themselves.
Right.
Okay. So that's what makes it a little bit more. All right. Well, I understand that theory. I just had always wondered, you know, now that you're getting involved with this too, I'm interested in picking your brain at your views of this as you go forward with, you know, hopefully getting your own television show. And we'll, you know, as I said, I'll keep our fingers crossed for you here in Knockwood that something gets picked up on your show so that you can continue on and investigate and, you know, share this with everybody. I mean, there's such a crazy resurgence of popularity. I don't think since the early 20th century there hasn't been a resurgence like there is right now in the paranormal.
Oh, yeah, I agree. You know? I mean, it's absolutely in its infancy, and I just really hope that it's taken seriously as a science and will just continue to grow.
Are you worried that shows like yours and shows like Ghost Hunters, Most Haunted, Dead Famous, do you feel that that might damage the credibility and legitimacy of real paranormal investigating? Not saying that you're not doing real paranormal investigating, but do you feel that it affects that in any way? Do you think that people, it might stigmatize and make people feel like they're goofy again for talking about these things?
Well, I think that, you know, the intelligence level of the people I'm coming across, you know, continue to impress me, and they are smart enough to see that there are some groups that believe this and there are other groups that believe that. And I would hope that if someone needs help with a haunting or whatnot, that they would know to shop around, you know? They're all competing, and they need to be of like mind, and they need to make sure that, you know, you need to make sure that they're professional. They're not coming in just to get, you know, titillated and move out. You know, that they are going to be what you are hoping to get from them, you know, respectful, professional, give you feedback, be respectful of your home, you know, that those types of things. So
with that in mind, what do you think about the shows where they call out the spirits, where they're, you know, in my sense, almost kind of being disrespectful and challenging spirits? I understand there might be a place for that to, you know, especially with antagonistic, nasty or demonic entities.
Okay.
But do you, I mean, you know, I love the show Ghost Hunters. You know, everybody knows that. We have the guys on the show all the time. I'm friends with Steve and those guys. But that's the only part of the show that I always kind of have a bone of contention with, is I feel it's almost a form of disrespect to the spirits. And they, you know, as they're fond of saying, ghosts were people too.
Right.
You know, and I don't know many people that would respond to that kind of goading, you know, especially if they're just grandma or grandpa that are hanging around the house still. If you're, come on, why don't you show yourself to me? What, you know, are you
don't
chicken? Oh, you can scare the little kids, but you can't scare me. What's up with that, you know?
Right.
What do they have to prove?
Right. Well, I've seen that too, and I've seen where that supposedly gives them that gives them something, you know, that it did do what they had hoped it would do.
Yeah, but most of the times it's violent.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I would think that approaching a haunting, especially where there's fear involved, instead of taunting them, getting them angry. Because, you know, personally, if I was a ghost haunting a house, and this is just my theory on it, I'm a ghost haunting a house. If I'm irritated that you're there in my home anyway and I'm mucking with you, you bring people in that start challenging me and causing trouble and yelling and threatening and cursing at me, you know, that would probably get my anger level up that you're going to get mucked with more.
Right.
You know, I think by being respectful and offering up, you know, hey, you know, if you're here and you'd like to communicate with us, if there's anything we can do to help you, please let us know. You know, kind of maintaining that level of respect, which I'm sure you do on your ghost tour, right? You're not out there in front of these beautiful mansions calling them out and, come on, chicken, show yourself. You know, give us a sign you're there. You know, by speaking to them and letting them know that you're there and you actually have a concern. You know, I mean, what's your take? I know that's kind of a newer theory of people, you know, trying to be friendlier to the spirits, but I would think that would be a much better way to attract their energies to come forward to you.
Right. Well, I mean, it's not my style, and it is uncomfortable for me to see. I don't know that I've ever seen it firsthand. I've just seen it on the show, on television.
Right.
Like you were speaking of. I just, you know, it's just not my personality to be that way anyway, and I do see, you know, any spirits that may be lingering as it's a personality of who they were. And I try to just sort of live my life, and certainly when I'm in those situations, out of respect and coming from a place of love. So it just wouldn't jive with, you know, where I'm coming from to do that. So,
right.
You know, I've gotten some good stuff. I've always tried to stay from that, you know, place of love. You know, this is going to jump way over to back to the pilot shoot, but
we can't have that.
We can't have that.
You can't promote that. No. Go on.
We had somewhat of a reveal to the great-great-granddaughter of the original owner. And, of course, you know, we had just gone through a little fraction of our footage and of our EVP sessions, and we did we had her come through in the most haunted room with us one evening, Saturday evening, and we did EVP session. And I wish I could tell you. You have no idea. I'm chomping at the bit, but it was unbelievable. I mean, we did get something that you have not seen before.
It's okay, we turned off the mics. Just go ahead and tell me. I won't let anybody else know. But it'll just be between you, Tim,
right,
and 35,000 people listening. But, you know.
But, you know, I will never forget. You know, we're kind of, you know, we're reading lights. We're getting makeup done. We're getting, you know, we knew that she was about to come to the home, and we just were like, you know, okay, we'll show her this bit of video we got. We'll show her this, and it'll be nice, and it's something. But then I, you know, Drew, bless his heart, he said, I'm gonna see if I got anything. And all of a sudden, he comes over and he goes, oh my God! And it's just blown us away. Thank God, he went and looked through that because it was amazing.
You're just a big old tease, Diana. That's all I gotta
say. I know.
Well, we'll definitely have to have you back on the show as you progress and get the show on the air, so that we can discuss the things that we've seen. Because, you know, you're tempting us. You're taunting us here. Where are some places you'd like to get out there and investigate? Is there a way people can contact you if they are in an area where they feel they have a haunting and a major haunting going on that they want help for? Is there some way that people can contact you to open that line of communication?
Sure. Well, I do have a contact page on our website, and that gets to the main telephone line, and then there's also an email. That's a good. Those are both good ways.
Okay, and they can also check your website, I would assume, at Roswell Ghost Tours?
Right.
Okay.
And, you know, remember you asked if I wanted to do other ghost tours. There is a stretch in Roswell. Right now I go down the old historic mill village, and what I love is it's very quiet. You're lucky to see somebody out walking their dog, so I'm real spoiled in that. You know, it's very, very quiet. But then there's this sort of more of a commercial area with restaurants, and that's been there a very long time, over a century, and they're actually hoping that I'll start one over there because the stories are abounding in
Great.
That area.
Well, keep us abreast of the situation.
Certainly.
Thank you very much for joining us this evening, Diana. We've appreciated having you on the show. We hope that your show takes off and does really well for you.
Thank you.
For everybody else, you're tuning into the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We thank you very much for listening to us this evening, and we'd like to thank our guests, Patrick Burns, for the first hour, and Diana Avena. And again, you can visit Diana's website and take advantage of her ghost tours by going to RoswellGhostTour.com. Again, that's RoswellGhostTour.com. We'll put up a link for that on our site. You are listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show.